Good evening. With the 35th pick in the 2011 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Andy Dalton, quarterback, TCU.
And so we talked all night about the rest of our lives, where we're gonna be when we turn 25. I keep thinking times will never change. Keep on thinking things will always be the same. When we leave this year,
going for it all. Tipped in the air, caught by the Bengals, A.J. Green.
You don't have another day, cause we're moving on and we can't slow down.
Take a chance, deep down the field, this game is back, it's Ross for the touchdown.
Oh my God,
no, he did it.
Majestic pass by Dalton.
Stay at home, talking all the time.
To the end zone, down the field, and it is deflected.
Folks, this is not a drill. We have a bona fide Cincinnati sports emergency. Normally, we wouldn't come with a middle of the week pod like this, but I think it's justified in this case. So, we got some big news from the Bengals on trade deadline day. Not related to the trade deadline, but it's definitely probably the biggest thing we've had to talk about Cincinnati sports wise since we started the podcast.
Definitely.
Yeah,
this is a little bit of a shocker, I guess. I mean, I can't blame the Bengals for benching Andy Dalton going forward, but I also feel like I feel bad for Andy, obviously, because I don't think that this year has been entirely on him. He's definitely had some things that he should have improved on at this point. But I mean, he's got no offensive line and his main weapons have been injured throughout the season. So you can't blame Andy. But at this point, I think it is the right move to see what you have in Ryan Finley before the draft.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And I think we've all kind of said at different points during the podcast that I think we're all prepared to move on from Andy at some point. I don't know that I necessarily expected it in the middle of the season. But one of the things you mentioned, Dan, was that it's not all Andy's fault right now because he has the terrible offensive line. His receivers are injured. I feel like it's going to be hard to really know what you have in Ryan Finley because the Bengals have a terrible offensive line and his receivers are injured. So I feel like it's a shitty position for him too, because it's really going to be tough for him to overcome that. And if he can overcome that and play well and have some success, then I mean, maybe he's a guy that can hang around for a while, but I feel like he's really the odds are stacked against him too. So,
I would definitely agree with that. The other thing is, like, I'm worried that if he does do well, that the Bengals won't draft a quarterback.
Right, that freaks me out.
That's like, one. I think I mentioned that on one of the other podcasts. Like, that's my biggest fear in this whole situation, is he'll win two or three games, and they're going to say, "Look what he did with a shitty offensive line. Look what he did with injured receivers." I mean, it's also not fair that Andy didn't get a single snap with A.J. Green this season.
Yeah. Look what he did. Look what he did unscouted and not prepared for.
Yeah. I saw on Twitter that someone posted Andy Dalton's last touchdown pass to A.J. Green. It was almost like a year ago. It was a year ago yesterday, I guess.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's been that long. Obviously, no, A.J.'s been out all year this year. But, yeah, it's tough. But but I don't know, Ben. I don't feel like it's in the Bengals' nature to take a tiny little piece of success and then overreact to it and go long term with somebody. No, that's true. I just don't see them doing that.
It's true. That's the other thing too with Ryan Finley is on his, I guess it was in Zach Taylor's press conference today, he almost didn't leave. He didn't shut the door on Andy coming back as the star.
No.
Like that was for sure,
and I don't know if it's just coming back in the second half.
Yeah, I don't know if that's how we just worded it weirdly or something. Like, but he essentially said we don't know how long we're going to go with this. But I think I forget the exact. I meant to look it up. But it was essentially like, yeah, like it could be the way I took it is it could be 3 games. It could be 5 games. It could be the rest of the season.
They're going to give him a quarter.
Yeah. He's going to come back in the second half.
They're going to alternate every other series.
Like,
it's not going to let Andy start.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. Well, I think what they might do too is, and we might see, you know, he might come out and after the bye week with no tape on him, he might shock the world and beat the Ravens or at least keep it really close and have him in a position to win. And then he'll get hurt. And then we'll still not know.
Yeah.
Like this is not going to set up perfectly where Ryan Finley proves that he's not the guy.
Right.
Like no matter what happens, we know it's not going to work out that way.
Yeah.
And then they're going to be those dumbasses at One Paul Brown Way or whatever, One Paul Brown Stadium, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45202.
202 or 212. I always forget what.
Either way, down at that address, those three people in charge of evaluating talent and making decisions are going to make the wrong call. And they're going to either draft an offensive lineman because they think Ryan Finley can do well with a better offensive line. Or they're going to draft Chase Young, which is going to just mess me up because I would call him Chase Elliott his entire career. And then, or they'll hold out and think that they can get another second round quarterback, which I don't think that they, all the talent evaluators say there's Tua, there's Joe Burrow, and then there's a significant drop off in talent at the quarterback position. They're deep as far as, you know, serviceable quarterbacks, but as far as, you know, franchise guys. But if it was anyone else making that decision to get a guy in the second round that they think could be a good quarterback for a long time, I'd trust them a lot more than the Bengals because the Bengals don't really have the talent evaluation. I think they rely on – honestly, it wouldn't shock me. And I mean, you've heard rumors before and you've heard people say it. I think they rely a lot on – the TV guys.
Yeah.
Like as far as their talent evaluation.
Look at Kuiper's big board.
Like, I don't think Mike Brown doesn't pay for ESPN Plus. You know that. That $5.99 a month is not happening.
Mike Brown is so excited, like Bleacher Report mock drafts before the season starts.
Sure, the ones that you have to click TV through too. All the slides.
Yeah.
He for sure has a tube TV. Probably the one I had at OU.
I mean, before like the last couple of years, they still had tube TVs at Paul Brown Stadium.
I know, it was crazy.
Yep.
Hey, man, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, that's because
most of the TVs were broke.
Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Well, if it is broke, don't fix it.
Well, it's in their lease agreement with the county. It's something like if more than a third or more than a quarter of the NFL teams have a certain technology, it's up to the county has to bring them up to speed within like the next couple years. So that's why they've gotten a new scoreboard the last couple of times, because all the new stadiums are getting these bigger scoreboards. That's why.
How did he swing that goddamn deal?
I don't know.
Dude's a genius. Like as much as we rip on him, dude's a business genius.
It wasn't Mike Brown as much as it was that Jeff Burning, who has been in the city over with FC Cincinnati.
He did. He bent the city over. Like,
sorry, city, county, everybody, the entire state, the world, because now we have to watch Bengals football. But
so if we can get like at least half the teams out there with a really like Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, can we say we need that technology here in Cincinnati?
County must provide the scouts.
Yeah,
whoever's recruiting for all the high schools around here that win state every year, that's that's who we need evaluating talent for. For the Bengals.
Seriously.
We did hire that guy from Moeller.
Yeah, I mean.
Moeller sucks this year, so maybe they're moving in the right direction.
it's so bad, but I feel bad for Andy. We haven't touched on it yet. It was his birthday as well.
Yeah.
It is sad. It's sad, and to say he didn't do anything is just stupid. Like, he was a good quarterback. He wasn't great. He kind of did what he needed to do. I mean, he came in a year where he was supposed to be a joke, where Carson just abandoned the team and took him to the playoffs. Like, he's had some definitely like pretty big highlights in his career.
Yeah, he's been one of the better quarterbacks in Bengals history. And obviously, there's not a lot to pick from after you get past you know, Boomer and Ken Anderson, and we'll throw Carson in there too. I mean, really, Andy's really the only other one that's had any consistent time that's performed well. And one of the things that sucks is we talked about it on Sunday or Monday, whichever, whenever you listen to the podcast. He's tied the record for touchdowns for the franchise, and he may not get a chance to break that now, which I would have said before the news today, he was a shoo-in to break that, but he may stay tied with it was Kenny Anderson he's tied with, right?
Yeah. Maybe he'll get some mop-up time later in the season.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe. It honestly wouldn't shock me if he got like a farewell drive at the end of the season.
I still think he's not done.
I know, and like, yeah, yeah,
I think he'll be back by the second half.
Whether it's Ryan Finley getting killed, or if it's, you know, just him sucking so bad that they need to put Dalton in. Like,
if Finley doesn't get hurt, I don't want them to switch back to Dalton, just because what's the point at this point? The season's already a lost cause,
right?
So you're not gonna win anything of value. So. If Finley comes out there and just struggles, let him struggle. See if he can get past that. See if he can learn from it. But it's not going to do him any favors. It's not going to do Andy any favors if you keep trying to jump back and forth between the two. So,
right.
As much as I like Andy, I wish, you know, I would prefer he still be the quarterback, just because at this point, why not? But
yeah.
if they're making this move, I think they just need to make this move. I really wish they would have traded him today, and they may not have had any candidates that would have given them anything valuable for him, but I want to see Andy go somewhere where he can have some success and finish out his career with, I don't know if he'll take anybody to the Super Bowl, but I think he could, you give him a competent team. We've seen what he can do. So I'd like to see him go somewhere else and do that. I don't want to see him.
I mean, put him on Chicago right now. They're better off than Trubisky.
Oh yeah. I know. I was kind of hoping he was going to go somewhere
on the chopping block already.
Yep. I was hoping he was going to go somewhere like Chicago or somewhere like that, just to prove that, you know, he can still be a good quarterback. Yeah. And I was going to say, when you were talking about not bringing him back or letting him finish the season or without some sort of injury or anything, like it could be another Boomer situation. Boomer, I just looked it up because I couldn't remember what week it was. It was week 12 where Boomer came back as the starting quarterback for the Bengals to replace Jeff Blake in 1996. Mm-hmm. And that was the same deal where it was like, he had already had his stint in Cincinnati. He had been gone and everything. And then he came back and he, you know, he lit it up. And it was one of those things like, holy shit, like Boomer's back. Where, you know, I remember 10-year-old me was like ecstatic. Because I don't know if I really remember any of Boomer's first tenure here. I don't know when he left Cincinnati. But yeah, like it'd be fun, not to put them on the same level necessarily. But it'd be funny to see Andy come back, you know, when we draft a flop in the next draft and Andy comes back and finishes his career here to take over in 2025 or something like that. But
yeah,
I mean,
the part that's annoying too is with not trading him today, you're doing exactly what we don't want you to do, and you're not going to get anything for him should he leave next year.
Well, so, and that's the thing,
they could have at least got something for him.
Well, but again, you don't know who's making offers for Dalton. You know, obviously there are teams out there like the Bears that could use a quarterback now, even if it is just a, you know, someone who's, you know, middle of the road or just a slightly above average. But I haven't seen or heard anybody saying that they had teams calling asking about Dalton. Like we said, like we saw with other players that teams were inquiring about, that the Bengals showed no interest in trading, which makes me think if people were asking about Dalton, they wouldn't have done anything anyway. But overall, it was a frustrating day as a Bengals fan, just because they did absolutely nothing at the trade deadline. So they're sitting where they're at. They're going to, I mean, I don't know. It's just frustrating because, like we talked about earlier this week, they don't do anything in free agency. They don't make trades. So you have to build through the draft. And if you're not going to increase your chances by adding picks, and what the hell are you doing? Like, why hang on to these guys that aren't going to be relevant when the Bengals are relevant again?
The thing that's driving me nuts with the national media too, though, is they're acting like AJ Green's disgruntled and wants out of here.
I know.
And it's like he's literally, if they just look anything up, they can see that he said he wants to be here. The only reason the contract should have been done already. Mm-hmm. The reason it hasn't been done, and I'm 100% certain if he was healthy the whole season, he would have had an extension, you know, already. And sorry, I just dove into a boomer wormhole here. It's insane. I remember him. I just remember him lighting the world up. And it was, he had a career year in seven, like he's seven games for the Bengals that year. He had 13 touchdowns, two picks, and his passer rating was the highest it was. And this is the best, like the highest passer rating of any of his seasons. Nice. He beat it by almost 10 points from his MVP season. So, like, yeah, that's like, that's one of those things. Like, it'd be funny to see Andy come back just to his swan song in 2025 to light Boomer up.
Yeah. One more try. We like giving people third chances.
If they bring back the uniforms, I'm fine with them. They can run whoever they want out there.
What's Carson up to?
That would be funny.
Carson.
Has anybody seen what Brett Favre's doing?
I know.
But, yeah. And we're talking about the trade and everything. And I'm 100% certain the reason they didn't trade Dalton is because they're not convinced that he's not going to come back in this season. Like, not maybe not re-sign, obviously, but not. He, like, I feel like Jeff said it too, like, he's going to be back. Like, and that's just because the Bengals are – it's either going to be because, like Whit said, the offensive line gets Ryan Finley killed, or it's going to be because the Bengals are just an incompetent organization. And I don't know. How much do you guys believe that was actually Zach Taylor's call? I mean, he said in his press conference, like, I made the call. I brought the decision to them, and I made the final call on it. Like, I believe maybe he brought it up to them, but that decision doesn't get made without everybody signing off on it. He doesn't have that authority, I can't imagine. I don't especially even know
for, if like, a first-year guy. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just met with somebody in the front office going, we got to try something.
Yep.
And that's the conversation, and they thought about what they could do, and that's what they landed on.
Yeah, and I've seen people speculating that this was just kind of a smoke and mirrors thing to get people saying, oh, well, at least they're doing something. They're making some change to kind of mask the fact that they're not doing anything else at all. They're not making the trades. They're not, you know, they're not signing any free agents. You know, they're literally doing nothing else. So this is kind of their way of appeasing people, saying, "Oh, look, we're serious. We're making changes. We're benching the quarterback that people are fed up with. We fired the coach last year that people are fed up with." So they give the appearance that they're doing something new, but really it's all just the same shit.
But you really see mixed Andy's reviews on his benching, though. Like, as much as everybody was talking about that all year, it seems like at least the Twitter world pretty divided on.
Well, and it's a day of mixed emotions for me too, because
I do agree.
Obviously, Andy is a great guy and you feel bad for him, but he hasn't performed and the Bengals haven't performed. And, you know, part of that definitely falls on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It's a weird day because we've all kind of been expecting this, but then to see it actually happen is a little surprising.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, when I first read it, like, I felt sad for a while. Like, I'm like, this sucks, because again, it's not like a Carson situation where he's leaving on bad terms. I mean, Andy's been nothing but great to the city, to the organization. He does so much stuff in the community. So there's literally nothing that you can root against with that guy, unless you really are just, you know, fed up with his performance on the field, which, again, he is responsible for, but there's also other factors there. But I mean, everything else, he just, like you said, he's such a great guy, such a, you know, a staple in the community. So it's tough to see that he's going to be moving on. So, I mean, maybe. I mean, assuming he's not going to hang around here and be a backup if that's how it's going to be in the future. But, you know, like you said, Dan, it's a tough day. But
based on how much he's gotten hit this year, I thought it was a pretty good birthday present.
Yeah, that's true.
Dude's going to be collecting millions and just sitting there holding a clipboard.
Yeah.
And he's going to feel so good on Monday morning.
Last year, we did the AJ and Andy, or Andy and JJ Dalton Foundation thing at Paul Brown Stadium, where we got to meet Andy. And my wife, just like 2 days ago, was like, "Hey, do you want to do that again? Like, because it's coming up." And I was like, "Yeah, of course I do." And then today, he gets benched. I have no idea if the event will still go on. I assume it will, but
I would guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go up and talk to him. So,
everything
benched,
you want to hang out? You got some free time?
Do anything on Sunday? Come on the pod.
So yeah. Do you like still take a shower after the game or?
So I guess if you just had to make a guess, a gut feeling, game one next season, who's starting quarterback for the Bengals?
Burrow. My guess is they're not currently on the roster.
Yeah.
Burrow. My guess is some guy they get in the second round that doesn't deserve to be a starting quarterback.
It would probably be like fucking Eli Manning.
That would be fun. No, I think honestly, like, I think it's gonna be Burrow because
Gardner Minshew.
I think it'll be Burrow because I think Tua is gonna. I think the right. That's the other thing too. Is like you just never know with the Dolphins. Like I feel like they would love Chase Young, but I also feel like they want Tua.
I'm gonna be honest with you. The Dolphins are gonna beat the Jets.
The Dolphins are stocking up so many draft picks now, though. They may be able to get Chase Young and then still get a quarterback.
Yeah, like move back in.
Yeah.
And you, that's the thing, too, is we just never know with the board. Like, there's... You're drinking out of a Xavier cup, Jeff? Turn it around.
It's a Gardens cup.
Son of a bitch.
Breaking news, Jeff is a Xavier Musketeers fan.
This is why I bought
it. Yeah, yeah. No, but I think that's true. Like, imagine that, stocking up on a bunch of draft picks when you're the worst team in the NFL. Why would you want to do something like that?
I couldn't imagine.
But honestly, like,
it's unimaginable.
Giving the Bengals that many draft picks would be like
comp picks, son.
Giving a bunch of missiles to somebody without a rocket launcher.
Like, they're compository picks, dude.
Suppository picks?
Consummating picks.
The compensatory.
Suppository.
Yeah, they can shove those picks up your ass and then.
Jesus. Speaking of, I don't have a segue.
Say, I'm curious to see where this is going.
I was going to say it, but I don't want Dan to have to edit. Not worth it. But I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think it's going to be Finley, or do you think it's going to be someone that get drafted?
Yeah, Whit, what's your prediction?
I don't know. I mean, I have a feeling it's going to. I have a bad feeling it's going to end up being Finley, just because I feel like they're not going to take a quarterback early on. I could also see them, like we said before, having a little bit of success and putting things together and winning a few games to the point where they're picking at like 4 or 5, and then when, if Burrow and Tua are gone, are they going to jump for a Fromm or a Herbert or whoever else is out there? Or are they going to take something else? I just don't see everything aligning to where we get that franchise quarterback to start off at the beginning of the draft. So my guess is it is going to be Finley, unless he just absolutely comes out and is terrible. Which I think he's going to probably be somewhat similar to what Dalton did. Performance was where he'll have success. He'll also have times where he looks terrible, and overall the Bengals just aren't going to change much as an overall team under him. But I think they're going to say, well, let's see if we can build around him and give him some more talent and give him some more protection and see what he can do. And I think that's what they're going to go with.
Yep.
Justin Herbert's 6'6", tall guy.
Do lefty too, guys.
I just want to fucking win. I don't care how tall or short the guys are. I was fine with them trying to get Kyler Murray.
Ryan Finley's like 6'6".
I think he's like a 6'2" guy. Ryan Finley? I think
I'm thinking of Drugalo.
Drugalo
is 6'7".
Yep. Yeah, he's the tall one.
Somebody put today as Drugalo the backup. It's like, come on, dude. Don't do Andy like that. He's the guy wins 2 of those 8 games that we're not having this conversation.
The one nice thing, though, is Ryan Finley's the guy that they picked for Zach Taylor's offense. Yeah. But a lot of people do think he is Andy. Like, he does have an Andy ceiling.
Arm.
Yeah, he doesn't have a deep ball.
Everybody was, like, going nuts over that Damian Willis catch in the preseason. And he literally, like, threw a duck. and Damian Willis jumped up and grabbed it. It was one of the worst passes I've ever seen in my life. And they were like, oh my God, Finley's so good. He does not have a good arm.
Like the highlights I posted in the blog today, it was like literally just a bunch of like check down passes and a lot of crossing routes and little short stuff. And it's like, that is not maybe a little more accurate, and he can maybe it's a pocket presence thing. Cause that was Andy's big thing right now too, is he was starting to get happy feet. He couldn't see the pocket. He couldn't read the pocket. He wasn't feeling pressure. And then when he thought that he had to like get out of the pocket, he was, soon. I mean, there's a clean pocket.
To be fair though, I feel like at this point it's easy.
Oh yeah.
You can't blame
him. He's not hard to blame him.
No. Yeah. But it was just getting to the point where it's like, he was like broken. Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know tonight's Andy's night. I know tonight's Andy's night, but what'd you think about Billy Price's 1.6?
That's terrible.
Grade? He was a number one draft pick last year.
Yeah.
So bad.
Like he's not good. And he struggles a lot with the stuff that they brought him in to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, he's
I'm watching week one highlights from Ryan Finley right now. And he's not throwing a single spiral.
Yeah, he has no arm strength.
Let's see.
Tolagawa's got a cannon. Hits
one in the flats and it was a duck. Like, fuck me. This is not going to be.
Tolagawa's got a cannon.
We know that. There's a semi spiral.
There you go. He's getting better.
That's right.
He's just been lifting since he's been sitting the bench.
I don't know what's his
hand. What did you do when you sat the bench? Did you lift a lot?
I didn't get paid by the NCAA. I should go back for some back pay.
But you did get free help with math and Spanish.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about, sir. I have no idea what you're talking about, sir.
Talking about study tables.
Boom. Talking about illegally doing your math homework for you. Because it was stuff that we did like freshman year.
It was really going to take me down was that high free school. 2 liter.
I was going to say, you took that 2 liter from the delivery guy.
And that NCAA pool we were doing.
A stoned college kid accidentally grabbed an extra 2 liter and Jeff was about to report himself to the NCAA.
who are you again?
You guys should report this? He thinks you're just a fat freshman. Like, he doesn't know who you are.
Well, he was wearing football sweatpants and sweatshirt.
That's true. That's one thing too, though. I saw today somebody was like, I don't know what state he's in, a representative. I don't know if it's a congressman or what, but he said he was going to propose a bill that all scholarship athletes have to consider their scholarship money income if they're going to be getting compensated by the NCAA.
Well, so they're going to get taxed on it?
So they're going to get taxed on their scholarships. And he's basically like, people were like, well, that makes them employees of the university, which entitles them to full health care, which entitles them to workers' comp if they get hurt, which entitles them to unionization. And they're like, do you think the NCAA is going to let this happen? Like, you imagine.
I almost commented on that and stopped because I looked up the dude's salary, and he makes like $175,000 a year.
Who's like, that?
The senator that commented on that makes six figures.
Yeah.
And he's worth like $2.2 million.
Yeah.
But has an opinion on what college students should get paid.
Yep.
And I guess for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, the NCAA came out today and said that they're going to allow players to basically profit off of their likenesses now. So they can, I guess, up as a merchandise, I guess they can sign deals, I assume. I don't know if you'll start seeing, shoe companies and other apparel companies start doing deals with NCAA players. I don't know if that's going to be a thing now.
It'll be interesting to see how it actually goes down.
I'm wondering so we already knew that recruiting was crooked.
Yeah.
But now that it's legal, how far out there are we going to start knowing numbers that kids are getting to come to certain places, like what boosters are paying for all of Coach K's, players at Duke and UK, Calipari?
My understanding, this is going to be more of just hey, if you want to advertise for the local chain restaurant, like you can just get your $5,000 appearance fee, or you can sell your likeness on T-shirts and stuff.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so like Kenny Powers.
We'll employ you at this car dealership.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure, yeah, there'll be plenty of ways around it.
But, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, did you see the thing that Clemson did? I mean, they'll never get investigated, but this one guy, I forget who it was, which player it was, his dad has been in and out of jail, like, pretty much his entire adult life. And so the article referred to him as, a career felon. Mm-hmm. Well, somehow, in a matter of a year or two, this guy built a business that was bought by one of Clemson's biggest boosters for, like, a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. Like, why did you choose this guy's business to buy?
Like, maybe when he was in jail, he studied up on business, and he just had a really good plan, and it came to fruition.
Yep. So, I mean, that's what they say, that that's the way that most of these, pay for play type of people get away with it, is they do it through business transactions like that, where, one of the boosters opens a large account with, say that, like, one of the players' dads or moms or uncles or aunts or whatever is a party goods supplier.
Yeah.
Like, then the booster that owns, like, the liquor store in town uses them exclusively as a party store supplier type of thing. And that's the way they get the money to them.
Or they just make them the main caterer for the entire football event or all the events, like our school.
Some barbecue.
Like some barbecue, like right off of the main highway there. Yeah. And the kid may or may not have gotten kicked out for violating the honor code and then start it the next week.
That's a very odd and specific.
They did pay us a lot too for the jobs we did. I will admit that. We got paid a lot.
You're saying
money.
Things you don't want to say.
You just block this out.
I'm not editing shit.
They don't know where I went to school.
Yes, they do.
They don't know where I work.
So I feel like the one thing that everybody really wants to know is this going to mean that NCAA football is coming back?
That's what they're saying. It should.
Yeah. Yeah.
Campus legend mode.
But I mean, it's going to be so hard to figure out how to compensate for, like, each of the there's so many kids.
Well, I feel like it would almost have to be like they do in Madden, where they just, everyone gets their Madden check each year, like for all the players do, I guess.
Gotcha.
And obviously it is going to be a lot more divided up. So I don't know what they're going to deem to be, fair compensation, but I guarantee you players aren't going to be getting rich because they're showing up in the NCAA football game, but they may get like a couple $100 or something.
It's going to go the other way where, and EA Sports is like, no, you got to pay us if you want to be in the game.
Yeah, I could see that end up being the case too. Like,
yeah,
you need to use your representation to be, correctly depicted in our video game. That was always my favorite thing too, is with our connection with Jeff and using him to hang out with football players. When the new NCAA game would come out and the rosters would be out, and there were people that had their entire race wrong. Or and then there were some people who was like, wow, they spent a lot of time. This guy looks just like you.
And Jeff's a 52 overall. That's too high.
We were talking about before you hopped on, Ben, how's
he, John?
The 1 year on Xbox 360, how all the players look gigantic. Yeah. Like the punter looked like they were like 240.
Well, Pat was probably 240.
Would line up and it'd be like, Jesus.
Yeah. I could see that being the case, Dan, where you have to buy into there, and you can't do like a players union necessarily like the Madden does, but I think you would have to do something to truly be like properly attributed in that game or whatever. But I don't know. I think it'll be interesting. I'm excited. I miss NCAA so much. I just hope that it's, even though they were both made by EA, I felt like Madden and NCAA had a different feel to them.
For sure.
And I'm afraid they'll just take Madden and,
I know,
and just basically whatever they call that. What do they call that when they just like port it over type of deal? Like porting it over, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds right to me.
Put new skins on it, like the different uniforms. And And I hope they don't go with stupid generic stadiums for the first couple years. So I feel like they did that for a couple years there where like all like the max stadiums.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like there was one year where it's like, oh, like they literally got every single stadium.
Yeah.
Pretty dead on. But I don't know. I'm excited for that, but that was kind of lost in, at least in Cincinnati, that was most of that was lost in all the Andy Dalton news.
Yeah.
So poor Andy.
Yeah.
It's a weird day. Anybody have any thoughts to wrap this bad boy up? Andy Dalton, RIP.
No,
I hope he gets a fair shot somewhere else. I think like someone said today, he would be an improvement over about 5 to 10 different situations they had right now.
Yeah.
I think he'll end up somewhere like Tennessee or Denver or something like that. Because I think the Mariota, or maybe even like Tampa Bay. It'll all depend on the draft, obviously, but there's a lot of teams that are at the end of the rope with their current quarterbacks. And sure. Andy Dalton, I think, would be viewed as he's 32, I think today is he turned 32.
Yep.
So there's going to be people that think, you know, he's got 4 or 5 more years where he can be a productive quarterback in the right system. So especially the way the rules are set up nowadays, they don't get hit as much. So
true.
I don't know. I hope he gets a shot. I hope he gets a fair opportunity to play somewhere else. And I'm sad for him and sad for us that he didn't get a chance to really win here. But he did take us to the playoffs his first 5 years, which was unheard of.
Yeah.
And that was huge. And it wasn't always his fault, but there were some situations in the playoffs that it's just, I always think about that Texans game, him missing AJ like that, or him throwing it directly into TJ or JJ Watt's hands. But that was more JJ than, I mean, Andy. Yeah. But yeah, just thinking about him missing AJ Green in the end zone that time, or a couple of the little things here and there. The ill-advised tackle when he was trying to throw the ball at Geo's feet and it somehow got picked off. I mean, that right there is the reason the Bengals didn't go to the AFC Championship. Like, they were on a fucking tank that year.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't happen. They get the first round bye. They probably make it to the AFC Championship at worst, you know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they had a legitimate shot at going to the Super Bowl, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But so, well, now
always be the what could have been, and that sucks because it sucks for him. It sucks for his buddy AJ Green.
I know. I'm interested to see how things, if anything, changes with AJ now that Dalton's been benched. If he says, "Well, you know, maybe I do want to kind of explore something else now," because I mean, they came in together. They've always played with each other. They haven't had any other, quarterback or wide receiver. I mean, obviously Andy's had other wide receivers, but it's
interesting. And I'm sure, they both have their friends outside of football, but from the sounds of it and the way you see on, you know, social media and the way that they're talked about, like, they're, like, best buddies. And they
and their kids play sports together. Yeah.
Like, they're raising their families together, so that's got to be tough. And AJ said the right things today, but I would never expect AJ not to.
Right.
No.
It sucks.
AJ spoke?
Yeah. But I don't know. It's just
juggled for 10 minutes.
But so I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
it sucks.
Yeah. Well, happy birthday, Andy. We love you. Come on the pod.
Good luck with whatever happens the rest of the season, man.
We'll see you in week 12. Week 12.
Jesus.
See you guys.
See ya. I hope you still feel small when you stay. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me that you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance.